I'm very thankful to God for the opportunity that He has given us to be in this new year, this new decade. 2020 is really beginning. Is an open door into a greater future, new opportunities that the Lord will make available to us according to His promises. And there's no better way to enter into this season than by the way, by the things that we're currently doing. I hope you are a part of our Daniel fast that started on Monday, and we're having a wonderful time with our morning prayers. I hope that this is turning out to be a spiritually enriching season for you. I also hope that you'll be able to partake and participate in everything else that we're doing as we go through the month. We do have our 2020 confessions. They're so blessed, such a blessing every time I read them. They just minister so powerfully to me, and I'm really thankful to God for these words that He spoke. These are words from the mouth, from the heart of God. These are in effect promises. They are like a transaction, like a contract, the beginning of the year, the opening of the year, and the opening of the decade that the Lord is making with us. It's like a covenant, because all of this are derived from his word, from the scriptures, the Holy Scriptures, the Bible. And they just happen to be what we call his Rhema word. We call it a Rhema word because it's a word in season. It's a word that the Holy Spirit Himself breathed for such a time as this. It's relevant, it's powerful, it's concise, it's specific, and it's unique to us and to this moment in time in our lives and in our spiritual walk with the Lord. So I'm very, very thankful for the Lord's graciousness in giving us these promises and these words. I am going to read them. If you have yours, hopefully you do. I'm going to ask that you pull them out. You don't have to read them if you don't want to, but if you want to, feel free. But I'm just going to read it. I want you to hear me as I read it, as I confess it. So I described it as a contract, and I really mean that. Because these are words that the Lord gave to us. These are like promises in effect. And some of it is mixed with resolves or resolutions that we have made or that we must make for the Lord's promises, His prophetic promises to become fulfilled. And tonight, as we go into our Bible study, I'm really, really just in my spirit, just so full of joy and so full of excitement, conviction, persuasion, because of the assurance that I have in the efficacy of the Word of God and how He has just step by step, in a step by step manner, continue to deal with us, continue to minister to us, continue to impart His word, His life, His instructions to us. I can truly say that I don't know that I have personally experienced any new year season in the past as powerful and as refreshing and as glorious as this current one. Maybe you've heard me say that in previous years, that would not be a surprise, because the Lord is taking us from glory to glory, and the Bible says that the glory of the latter house should surpass the former. We know that the Bible says the end of a thing is better than the beginning thereof. So, and we also know that the word says in Proverbs 4:18, the path of the just is as a shining light that shines brighter and brighter until the perfect day. So we understand that with God, it gets better each new season. He doesn't do the best at the beginning, and then as you move forward, then he waters down the quality of what he does. That's not how he does. What the Lord does is he really does give us his best as we go. So you can guarantee that every new day, every new week, every new month, every new year, every new decade in God, in Christ, if you're walking with the Lord, really ought to be better, ought to be more fulfilling, more enriching than the previous seasons. So I am really, really thankful to the Lord. And this set of Bible studies, I'm very, very happy in my spirit that we're able to have them. And one of the reasons I'm so happy is I have a very clear-cut instruction and very, very clear direction over what the Lord will have us do. And that's always a very good thing. I'm not guessing about it at all. I'm very, very certain about it. And the other thing about it is I actually don't know that there's been any year in the past that we actually started out this way and that I got this direct instruction in this regard from the Lord to address some of these things at the very beginning of the year as we step into it, just to kind of clear the ground so that whatever it is the Lord has promised, has ordained, has prepared, the ground is already prepared. Preparation is always a big thing with the Lord. You go through the scriptures, Old Testament, New Testament. Every time the Lord is coming, he'll tell the people to prepare. He'll get his servants. He'll get some of either the Levites, the prophets, the priests. He'll get them to prepare the people. He'll tell them, sometimes he'll say, I need you to wear this, or I need you to do this, or I need you to, you know, God always, preparation is a very big thing with the Lord. In the New Testament, you know, the Lord Jesus, when he was going to cities in Luke chapter 10, the word of God says he sent his disciples two by two. He sent the 70 out and he sent them two by two into cities that he himself was going to go to. What was that? What was the reasoning behind that? You see, was sending them to prepare the place, to prepare those cities. And of course, you know, if you've read the Advent, if you've read the coming of the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2, you do remember that the disciples were asking the Lord Jesus Christ, just as he was about to leave, they were asking him political questions. That's what they were asking him. They were asking him political questions. I guess in those days, politics were probably just as strong and as fiery as it is in our days. So when these disciples had a chance to talk to the Lord, you know, I'm guessing maybe if some of us today have a chance to ask the Lord a question, like you want to get an insight into the heart of God or into a future, it's quite likely that if the Lord give us an opportunity to do so, that we may say, Lord, who's going to win the next election? So that is quite possible, and so that would not be surprising, because with all the serious things going on and all the divine plans of God for the kingdom, for the harvest, for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit that was impending, the one thing the disciples wanted to know about was this political thing. They said, you know, this political thing, we just want to know about this political thing. The Lord said to them, you know, well, don't worry about that. That's not really, that's not as important as you think it is right now. But I want you to pay attention to this. And then he started telling them, I want you all to go to Jerusalem and to be in the upper room and wait there and pray. And pray until you receive power. He said to them, you'll be endued with power from above. And he says, when you receive this power, then you become witnesses of me in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the earth. So he was telling them what was really most important in the agenda of God in that moment, even though they didn't really think that's what it was. And then, so what were they doing then when they went to the upper room? They went to prepare. And they were there, they got their house in order, they fixed a number of things, and then they were praying, 120 of them. They just stayed in there and they prayed. They prayed, they saw the Lord, the fellowship, they got in the Word. They were just preparing. And then suddenly in Acts chapter 2, the Bible says, when the day of Pentecost fully came, the Holy Spirit came down from heaven. So the ground was already prepared. And so I'm not surprised this direction. So part of what I'll share tonight probably into next week is just preparing, clearing the ground, getting ready, and then looking closer at these words that the Lord has given us. I tell you, I'm going to read it in just a minute, this 2020 Confessions, but it's very important that you and I catch a new vision. It's very important that we get a new vision for this new season. Very important. We shouldn't carry over into this new season the whatever disappointments, defeat, sadness, failures, or what else, whatever else we may have experienced not in line with the Word of God, we should not allow those to play a role in following us into this new season. We should drop all of those things. We should set them, just leave them there. Leave them, and if you didn't leave them at the door, December 31, 2019, it's not too late to do that today. That's part of what I'm really, in my spirit, quickened to encourage us to do. So I'm going to read the 2020 Confessions. It says 2020 is my year and decade of harvest, joy, open doors, possibilities, and overflow. I lift up my eyes to the hills. It's harvest time. I hear the sound of abundance of rain, the former and latter rain in the same month, the blade, the air, and the full harvest in the same season. Manifestation, vision, and faith are all ready now. All things are possible unto me now. And I believe there will be a performance of every word spoken now. I am blessed in all things, like Father Abraham was. God anoints my head with oil, and my cup runs over. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. There will be showers of blessings over our household, and our storehouses overflow with heaven's best. I am certain, bold, confident, fearless, undaunted. Even when pushed beyond my limits, I bask in heavenly grace and I keep pushing forward with a joyful heart. No deficit will affect my destiny, and I will outlast my enemy. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. I will not be silent, but I will boldly declare what thus saith the Lord. His words in my mouth are just as powerful as his words in his own mouth, and they will never return to him void. God has set before me an open door, and no man will ever shut it. Jesus has conquered the world and deprived it of power to stop me. The joy of the Lord is my strength and stronghold. Although the fig tree has not blossomed yet, and although there are no fruits on the vine yet, I will rejoice in the Lord and exult in the God of my salvation. He makes my feet like hinds' feet and helps me walk upon my high places. I'm not done yet. I see stars and favor just above me. I see miracles and breakthroughs just ahead of me. I see possibilities and open doors all around me. I see glory, and Jehovah Jireh will see to it. 2020 is my year and decade of harvest, joy, open doors, possibilities, and overflow. I lift up my eyes to the hills. It's harvest time in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. I don't know about you, but reading those words always fills my heart with just fresh grace and fresh joy, a fresh empowerment, a joy and excitement that I find it very difficult to explain. Like somebody just kicked down a door to a room that's full of treasures. And suddenly all of those treasures become available to me, and there are no restrictions. Hallelujah. There's no limit. There's just take as much as you want. My eyes get so wide, so big, and I just want to get as much of it as I can. I want you to read with me in the scriptures, Isaiah chapter 43, and I'm going to read verses 18 and 19. This is a very familiar piece of scripture. If you've been around us for a few years, you probably have noticed that I pretty much start maybe just about every year, somewhere at the beginning of the year, this scripture always comes up. Isaiah chapter 43, verses 18 and 19. And you would have to forgive me, and you'd have to pardon me for starting out this year from this scripture again. Because every new year is really a new beginning, and it's a new opportunity to experience God's new things in a new season. Let's read it together. Isaiah 43, verse 18 and 19. It says, "Remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old." He said, "Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." So first of all, he said, do not remember the former things. And don't consider. That word consider means don't let it fill your mind. Don't consider the things of old. So this is a very powerful entrance into a new season. don't remember the former things. You, again, the reasons for that, the powerful ways to counter that, you would see as we go along in our teachings, wherever we get to tonight and wherever we stop, we'll pick it up by God's grace from there next week. He says, don't remember the former things. Part of the reason for that is what I said at the very beginning of this teaching tonight. I said, we must not allow things 2019 and before, all the years before, we must not allow those things to follow us into this new season. We must not allow them become a baggage to us in the new season that God has given us. We should at the very least do ourselves that favor of facing a new season as a new season. Just embracing it as a new season and completely determining in our minds that whatever happened in the previous season, it's over with, it's done with, that season is over, shut the door, leave all those things back there, and let's move into a new season. It's a new day. In addition to saying we should not remember the former things or consider the things of old, don't let them fill our minds, our hearts. We'll see some of the reasons for that in just a minute. Then he also says, behold, I will do a new thing. Obviously, the first part of this scripture is a prerequisite for the second part. Behold, I will do a new thing. It's a promise. I will. He says, I will do a new thing. If there's ever any question about what God has in mind for our new season, he answers that question right here. He says, I will do a new thing. That presupposes, it suggests to us, he wants to. He is determined to. He longs for the opportunity to. Just as you and I long for the opportunity to enjoy the new things of God, God longs for the opportunity to do new things in our lives. He said, I want to, I will do a new thing. Notice he said, now it shall spring forth. And that phrase suggests to us that, in fact, it may not happen organically. That, in fact, it may not follow a natural human sequence. It may not follow a natural sequence of events. It may not be familiar to us. Now it shall spring forth suggests that something can happen quickly that is totally different from anything we've ever experienced before. God says, I want to do that. I will do that if you let me. And then he says, he will spring forth and say, will you not know it? And it's not really a question, but what he's saying is, can you get a revelation of that? Can you allow the Holy Spirit clear the rubble and clear the bush, the shrubs, and all of the weeds sometimes that clutter the fallow ground of our hearts and our minds? Can you let the Holy Spirit help us, help you clear all of that so that you can get a revelation of this thing that I will do in your life? He says, shall you not know it? Then he said, I will even make a way. I will make a way in the wilderness. Of course, you know, the wilderness is where there is no way. There is no way in the wilderness. So I say, I will make a way. And then he says, and rivers in the desert. The desert is supposed to be dry ground. But God said, I will make rivers in the desert. So it's very easy to understand why I would want to start every new year, every new season, with a scripture like this. Because I understand what is at stake. I understand that if I really want to help myself, I really should not allow whatever experiences, positive or negative, the positive ones I can kind of just learn from, use as a springboard for something bigger and something higher. Negative disappointment, defeats, failures, hurts, and anything that is contrary to the promises of the Word of God, some losses maybe, any of those things, if we really want to help ourselves, those are things we lay down behind there. You are not coming with me into this new season. And this is a new season. It's a new day. It represents a new beginning. If I'm more so in 2020, because it's the beginning of a new decade. It's a new year. It's a new decade. Hallelujah. You think about this. So if this is almost like you do this at the beginning of every year, well, that's awesome. And that's really not so different from what we all do regularly every day. Think about this for a minute. How many days of the week do you and I get up when we wake up in the morning and we say to the people around us, good morning? Good morning. How many days of the week do we do that? Why don't we just say good morning at the beginning of the week? Maybe when you wake up on Monday morning, just say good morning to your spouse if you're married, your children if you have children, or your family members, whoever you live with, friends, roommates, or your co-workers, colleagues, or anybody that's around you. Why don't we just say good morning? I told you good morning. This is the good morning for the week. So if I see you tomorrow morning, Tuesday, you will not get a good morning from me. This is my good morning for the week. Why don't we do that? Why do we wake up every new day and tell the same people that we told good morning yesterday, we still go back to those same people and we still tell them good morning again today? Why? Well, because every day is a new day. Every day is a new beginning. And we want it to be good. Amen. We want it to be good. However yesterday ended, however week, whichever way, however it closed, however, whatever happened until we went to bed last night, whatever, whether argument, whether sadness, whether disappointment, no matter what happened yesterday, we wake up this new day and we say good morning because we recognize a new opportunity, a new beginning. It's a new day and we want it to be good. So we say good morning. We don't even know. We don't even know that that morning is good yet, because you may wake up not feeling super excited. You may wake up not particularly feeling happy. God forbid, you may wake up with a headache, maybe because maybe your neck was some way when you slept or something or whatever. You may wake up with a memory. You may have had a bad dream when you slept. But every time you wake up, good morning. The reason is you expect this day to be good. I expect this morning, and I expect this afternoon, and I expect this evening. I expect every part of this day to be good. So those you don't see in the morning, when you see them in the afternoon, say good afternoon. It's not because the afternoon is necessarily good for you. You may have gone to work and some negative things could have happened already that morning. But when you see people in the afternoon, you say, good afternoon. Why? Because you expect it to be good, even though you are not really thinking about it, but you are calling it good. That's why we have to approach every new season that the Lord gives us with an expectation that that season will be good. That's what the Lord wants us to do. Remember what he said again. Don't remember the former things. Don't consider the things of old. Whatever happened last night, let it stay yesterday. Say, behold, I will do a new thing. It will spring forth now. Shall you not know it? Will you get a revelation of it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Now, one of the reasons why I started out with our 2020 confession is I want to appeal to you. I want to challenge you to consider the importance of the words in this confession. This confession is like your good morning. The words of this confession is your own way of labeling your new season. Not because you just arbitrarily want to do that, but because you have an understanding that that's what God wants to do. He's already told you. He told us, he said, I want to do a new thing. And we know the new thing God wants to do is not a bad thing. It's a good thing. In fact, it's better than anything we've ever experienced before. It's the best that we've ever experienced in our lives. So it's our way of labeling this new year and this new decade. This is good morning. This is good 2020. And what's going to make it so good are some of the particulars that in these words and more that you will add for yourself depending on your own situation, you and the Holy Spirit getting together through the time of praying, through the time of fasting, things you may need. You have meditated in the word and you know God has those things available for you. There's no reason for you to not have it. You add it to your own confession. Things you may desire may not necessarily be in this particular general corporate confession, but those are things you and the Holy Spirit, you get together, you know, these are things the Lord wants you to have, so you add it to your own confession. You are labeling this year, you are labeling this decade. You are saying it's good, even just at the beginning of it. You don't know what's going to happen later in January. It doesn't even really matter, because whatever you call it, that's what it is. Remember at the beginning when Adam, when he named the animals, the Bible tells us whatsoever he called those animals, that's what they were. That's why in that confession there, it says, his words in my mouth are just as powerful as his words in his own mouth. When Adam named the animals, whatever name he called them, he called this one dog, he called that one cat, he called this one cattle, he called this one elephant. God didn't come and say, why did you call that dog? Why didn't you call this one cat? Why did you call this dog? No. Bible says whatever he called it, that's what it was. So when you name it, when you call it, heaven agrees with you. It's really up to us, because God says, I will, I want to. Amen. Now, the words of this confession are so important. It's so important for us to focus on the importance of these words. And then we need to take steps, meditate every scripture in this confession that is connected to this confession. And in fact, every section of the confession, every part of it, we should take them. And I hope you can give some time to doing it on your own in this season of praying and fasting. Just take one section at a time. Say, okay, just focus on this one section. And look at it. Former rain and the latter rain in the same season. Blade. Corn, ear. A full ear. All in the same season. And then the other aspect of it, of that particular section, focus on it. And then look at the scriptures. One of the things we did this year was we made sure just about, I would say about 90% of the scriptures that constituted this confession are right there on the printout that everybody got. So if you're getting it online, I think that's the same way online on the website. If you have like a hard copy printout of it, it's the same way. All of the, about 90% of the scriptures that constituted this confession, these words from the Lord to us, are on that printout. So that, you know, it's not just, you know, some group, some small group of people that have access, you know, that can read it and say, oh, okay, I see. So that's where, I see. No. All of us have access to it. All of us can read it. All of us can. So I want to challenge you to meditate every scripture of this 2020 confession. Just look at the bottom of that sheet, the printout that you have on the website, and meditate every scripture, meditate every section of this confession. Why do I want us to do that? Because I want us to renew our minds and paint new pictures and images on the canvas of our imagination. This is really, really important. There is a need for us to birth a new vision for our entire future, for this new year, for this new decade. There is a need for that. We have to birth a new vision. Somebody says, but why? Why? Because our minds, you know that, you've heard this expression before, our minds are like sponges. Our minds are like sponges. They soak things up. And you try it. When you soak up, when a sponge soaks up a lot of water and it's full of that water, until you actually squeeze that water out of it, you can't get new water into it, because all of the particles, all of the whatever elements of that sponge are already full of that water. Our minds are like sponges. When we came into 2020 from 2019, our minds brought with them all of those memories, all of the experiences of 2019 and all the years before. And generally, the tendency is that our mind will more likely cling to the negative experiences. There are two major reasons for that. Number one reason is Satan works hard to make sure that you don't forget. All whatever disappointment, whatever failures, hurts, pain, let's not even talk about people. Let's just talk about just the things that happen to you just by yourself. The mind tends to hold on more to the negatives than it holds on to the positives. You think about it. You give yourself that exercise sometime when you can, and just try to remember, just see what thoughts are in your mind, what you readily and what you easily remember. I guarantee you, whether it's in your relationship with people that are close to you or people that you work with, or the likelihood is you tend to remember first. You may remember other things later, but you tend to remember first things that are not so positive about those people. There's a reason for it. Number one, Satan keeps working hard to make sure that you don't forget. But the second reason for it is also the fact that we live in a negative world. And so our minds are immersed in this negative. All this negativity around us, it's extremely difficult to be positive in a negative world. So think about it for a minute. When we came out of 2019 into 2020, we brought all of that negativity with us in our minds. Now you get to understand why the Lord said first, in Isaiah 43:18, before he said, I want to do a new thing, he said, I want you, he says, remember ye not the former thing. The first thing he said, remember ye not the former thing. And then he said, and do not consider, don't let it fill your mind, the things of old. Don't consider it. Don't let it fill your mind. Why? The Lord is saying, I want you to clear that mind so I can fill it with a new thing. Remember, your vision will determine your future. This is what I started saying earlier on, that it is important that we renew our mind and that we begin to paint new pictures and images on the canvas of our imagination. Because whatsoever vision you run with in this early part of the year is going to follow you the rest of this year. It's going to, most likely, whatsoever your mind comes in with, unless you go through, and I'm talking to believers, I'm not talking to someone who is unsaved, who's going to give his life to Christ and then get into the process of mind renewal, get in the Word of God, start going to church, learn, listen to the Word of God preach, and start actively trying to change his mind. Now, I'm talking to believers who are already, mostly already saved. So, the way we enter in, what happens in our minds, this is why it's so important. It's so important what the Lord said. We have to forget it. And it's not going to happen easily, but it can happen with the help of the Holy Spirit. It can happen. And this is why words like this from the Lord, confessions, prophetic instructions like this, are so powerful when we meditate them. For every negative experience, we should meditate a promise of positivity numerous times. For every failure, we should meditate a promise of success numerous times. If you failed in one thing in 2019, and you receive a promise from the Lord that you will succeed in that area, you should meditate on that promise he gave you 10 times the failure you had in 2019, the prior year. Why? Because your mind wants to hold on to it. And it's so important for us to be able to get the new things that the Lord has for us. We have to birth a new vision for our future. We can't afford to allow this negativity, whatever it was. Some of us, it's not even just like maybe somebody did something or whatever. Just the fact that sometimes you expected something to happen and it did not happen. Just that happened. I tell you, you have to work very hard. I mean, spiritually now, not work like physical exertion. You have to work very, very hard spiritually to flush out the memory and the effect of that failed expectation, failed hope. You have to flush it out of your system. Because if you don't, that thing is going to weaken your heart. That negativity is going to stay in your mind and in your heart, and you'll not be able to get past it. This new thing God says I want to do, already the obstacle to that new thing is right there in your heart, and unless you flush it out, you are not going to be able to enter into this new thing. This is so very, I'm going to be very honest with you, I don't believe that the gravity of this has hit me as much as it's done this year. I mean, in previous years, yes, I've talked about it, you know, but I don't think even the depth of it, you cannot birth a new vision until you have removed the old one from your imagination, from your mind, from your spirit, from your heart. This is so important. These confessions will help us overcome Satan's cycle of defeat by helping us replace images of disappointment with God's promises and new expectations. This is so important. Just by meditating the promises of God, just by flushing out all of that debris from the past, we can actually overcome that cycle of defeat. What Satan wants to do is he wants to perpetuate that cycle of defeat in our lives so that the same defeat we experienced 2 years ago, 3 years ago, 4 years ago, 5 years ago, we continue to experience. I don't know how many of you have heard Jonathan McCronell's cycle. I think it became popular a couple of years or so ago. That cycle of defeat, that cycle of disappointment, cycle of failed expectation, Satan works hard. He will do everything possible to mess with our belief system. And in most cases, he works for many years to constantly ingrain in our minds, in our consciousness, in our spirit, these negativities. So, child of God, I know I should be closing soon. We're just getting started, so I'm very excited about it. Very excited about just even the steps that the Lord has given us. It's so important that the first thing we need to do is we need to flush all that negativity, flush it. You know, how many people, they come into this new year, they can say, well, the Lord is gonna new season, the Lord is gonna, I see favor, I see stars, but their mind is still full of dirt. The dirt, the pain, the disappointment, the expectation of failure. Continue to believe that, oh, you know, what happened? They say history repeats itself. What happened? What happened with that position I tried to get last year? It's probably going to happen again. I'm probably going to try to apply for another position. I'll probably not get it. You know, they're probably like, they'll tell me like there are 5 other people more qualified than me. Oh. They said, you know, they made to me, I'm going to find, I'll probably find out last minute, change their mind. You know, this cycle of defeat and disappointment, cycle of bad news and negative news. You know, go do that test again. Yep, I remember when I did the last 2 times I did it in 2018, it was bad news. I guess most likely I better prepare myself. I don't want to get my hopes up. It's probably going to be bad news again. Let me, as I close, let me tell you something really profound that the Holy Spirit dropped in my spirit recently. This is so profound. I don't think it needs a lot of explanation, but you may need to kind of just, you may need to see light. You know what it means to see light? When you see that word see light in the Psalms, it means just pause and think about it. You may need to see light to get the full depth of what it is. But this is one of the most profound things that I have heard in a long time, and the Holy Spirit dropped it in my heart. He said to me, son, whatever you do not expect, you should not expect. Son, whatever you do not expect, you should not expect. What does that mean, Pastor? Whatever you do not expect. So, if you do not expect favor, like you do not have expectation in your heart for favor, and expectation is the key to experience. If you don't have expectation in your heart for the favor of God, then you should not expect that somebody is going to do you good. It's not going to happen. Whatever you do not expect, you should not expect. If you don't expect a change, situation you've been dealing with and grappling with for a while, then don't step out and suddenly that somebody is going to make that change happen. And where does expectation come from? Expectation comes from what's going on within us, in our minds, in our hearts. Bible says hope deferred. Hope is the same as expectation. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. So many people have sick hearts. Unfortunately, they go from one season to another with sick hearts. And they keep wondering, why are my expectations not being fulfilled? Because really what they are calling expectation is not really in their heart, because their heart is sick. You cannot have expectation when your heart is sick. What they are calling expectation is really something they just think, something abracadabra, something's just going to change. Something's just going to happen. Whoosh, and change. But the Lord said, son, whatever you do not expect, you should not expect. If you don't expect that you will prosper, then you should not expect that there are open doors in your future where the Lord will rain down prosperity over you from heaven. The showers of blessings will come over you and your household. If you do not expect that you will live long, that the Lord will renew your youth as the eagle, if you don't expect it, then don't expect that when you go get the result of that test that you did, don't expect that, whoosh, just like that, abracadabra, the result will suddenly match what the Lord promised. Mm-mm. Son, whatever you do not expect, you should not expect. So how do we change that? If I want to put myself in a position where I should expect some blessing, I'd have to get out of that cycle of defeat. I have to get out of that cycle of defeat that, oh, I've seen it so many times, and it was always the same negative report, always the same negative evidence. Well, I have to get that, flush that image, those images of defeat out of my system and begin to build new expectations in the Word of God. Build a new vision. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, just as I close, I challenge you to do a soul check over the next few days as we go through our fast. You know what I mean by a soul check? Do a soul check so that you are not deceived into assuming all is well with your belief system when in actual fact, your check engine light has been permanently on for some time. Let's do a soul check. Let's drag our minds and our hearts into the workshop of the Holy Spirit. You know, one of the ways you can tell that the engine of your soul and the engine of your spirit in Psalm 42, I'll come back to this when I pick it up next week by God's grace. The Lord will help us with this. In Psalm 42, verse 4, 5, and 11, remember David was speaking to his soul. My soul, why are you so cast down within me? My soul, why are you so cast down within me? Have hope in God. Have hope in God. To his soul. Why? Because he did a soul check. And he found out, the psalmist found out, of Korah, he found out that what he really should be expecting, he was not expecting. There's something with that soul that needed to be fixed. There's debris, there's garbage, there's negativity that needs to be flushed out. Room for a new vision. To make room for a new expectation. How do I know when my expectation is alive? And how I know, one of the ways I know is when I hear the sound of that thing, like when I hear the sound of these promises, you know, a soul that is alive and well, expectation that is alive and will live with joy. And the Holy Spirit quickens it. Let's stop right here. We'll come back to this by God's grace next week. But as we close out, just encourage yourself through the fast. It's one of the benefits of being able to go through a fast, is do a soul check. Just flush. Make sure you do a lot of flushing. Don't keep that stinking nonsense in your house. Flush it out with the Word of God. You have to keep your eyes on the Word of God permanently. If you have to do it 10 times. 10 times. If you have to do it 100 times until you see the last bit of that debris gone, then do it. Then do it until joy comes alive in your soul when you hear the promises of the Word of God. Then do it. And the Holy Spirit will help you. Amen.